Greetings to all. This is Sunday, August the 14th. On a personal note, I wanted to let you know that on Sunday, September 4th, we will be joining a new church for the first service. And this church will emphasize the sovereignty of God, be God-centered, Christ-centered, Bible-centered. The preaching pastor and I are theological friends, and I will be serving as the pastor of discipleship. We are humbly excited to be a part of this new church. And to have a church which emphasizes God's absolute sovereignty, to be God-centered and Christ-centered and Bible-centered, there was ever a day needed for such a church as today. So we're excited about that. Now let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we seek to bring honor and glory to your holy name. We seek to exalt our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we seek to depend upon the Holy Spirit as we worship together in this text in the Gospel of John. We ask you then to teach us eternal truth, and may it be applied to our hearts in practical daily living. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now our text is the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we'll be looking at some verses in this first part of John, chapter 1. And the purpose of the message is to be Christ-centered and to learn to know Him. It is said that the highest pursuit of a human being, the most noble project in which we can be engaged, is to know God. And we know Him through Christ our Lord. So today we are seeking to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know Him personally, not just in an intellectual, academic way, but to have a personal relationship with Him. But also we learn about Him, which causes us to appreciate Him more and deepens our love. So let's look at the text beginning in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And now verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And verse 16, and of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Now, we want to summarize what we learn about Christ in this text. So we ask the question, what do we know about Christ from this text? And we'll just run through the text as it's stated here in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. Now, the beginning refers to creation. And we have that stated in Genesis 1, in 1 John 1:1, and Hebrews 1 about the beginning. In the beginning refers to the beginning of creation. In the beginning was the Word. Now we need to identify the Word. As it is translated, W-O-R-D, it is the well-known Greek word, logos. And logos was very important to the Greek philosophers. Now in this text, we learn that the logos is personified. It is not just a philosophical reasoning. It is not just a theory. It is a person. In the beginning was the Word. And verse 2, He was in the beginning, makes it personal. And in verse 14, it also makes it personal. And the Word became flesh. That is the person. In the beginning, we could say, was the Christ. And the Christ was with God. And the Christ was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now, what do we learn here? We learn that Christ is eternal. And as he spoke to the Father in the prayer of John 17, he said, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So he's talking about existence before the creation. And we learn that Christ is eternal, without beginning. Without beginning, he is eternal. Secondly, we learn that he is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ was God. Christ is God. He is no less divine than is God the Father. He is as much God as God the Father is God. He is God. No less than being fully divine. He is the eternal God. Thirdly, we learn in this passage that he is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who did this? Christ. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal God Creator. Now we learn this also in Hebrews and also in Colossians. That not only is he the creator, but he is the sustainer of the creation. Now, what amazing truth this is about the Lord Jesus Christ who became human. this baby born in the manger is the eternal God creator. Now that is what the world does not understand. That cannot be understood until God reveals it to the human mind and to the human heart. We worship Jesus Christ as our eternal God creator. Now we learn in verse 4 that he is life. In him was life. Now there is origin. There is source. He is the source of life. All life comes from him and through him. Now, in our country, we have had evolution taught in our government public schools for many, many years. I think Charles Darwin died in the middle 1890s. And as the churches in the early 1900s became liberal, modern, also the seminaries, and the culture and society becoming more humanistic and more secular, evolution became the teaching of our school system, and creationism was ruled out. So now we send our children to the public schools. In elementary school, they are taught evolution as a fact, that life evolved by chance. They are taught this in junior high school, in high school, in college, in universities, in postgraduate school. These people who have been taught evolution as a fact then become the teachers in the public school system, and they become the politicians, and they become the judges who rule our courts. Our court system has accepted evolution to be taught as a fact and creationism to be ruled out. Now there are some Christian leaders today who are working with all their heart to change our court system. And when we get politicians and judges who will see the truth of this, that creationism must be accepted and evolution ruled out as fact, then everything will change. Our society will not be as secular or as humanistic, and reality will set in that Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He is the creator, and he is the source of life. He is the origin, and he is the intelligent designer of creation. He is eternal, he is God, he is creator, he is life. And verse 5 says he is the light. He is light, and Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Now, what does light do essentially? Light exposes. You go out to a dark barn at night and you carry a lantern, and that lantern exposes in the darkness. The chickens will come out clucking and the rats will run for cover. Light exposes. Number 6. He became human. Verse 14. And the Word, the Logos, the God, became flesh. What an amazing, amazing thing that the eternal God would become human. But that is exactly what has happened. And the birth of Christ is the center of history. So that we have B.C. and A.D. and we have a date today related to the time that he became human. In a miraculous way, without a human father. Born by God himself through the Holy Spirit, using the Virgin Mary. This is Christmas. This is the Christmas story right here in verse 14. And the God who always was became flesh, became human like us. Became as human as we are, so that he could make the sacrifice to pay for the sin of humans. Now, and the seventh thing we learn about this text is that he dwelt among us. He came and lived and grew as a child into a young man, and these details are listed in all four Gospels and in the New Testament letters. He lived among us. You say, well, I've never seen him. Well, you've never seen George Washington, and you have never seen Abraham Lincoln, and you believe the history written about them. And we believe the Word of God written about our Lord Jesus Christ. He lived among us. He walked the shores of Galilee. He came down the trail along the Jordan River from Galilee to Jericho on to Jerusalem. And he walked up Calvary's Hill. And there made the sacrifice for sin that brings forgiveness and eternal life. Now, another thing we learn about him is that he reveals the Father. In verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus Christ reveals God the Father. Now, on one occasion, a disciple named Philip said to him, show us the Father. And Jesus said to him, Philip, I've been with you. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He said, the Father and I are one. If you want to know God the Father, you can only know Him through Christ the Son. He is the revealer of Almighty God, because He is Almighty God, and the Father and the Son are one. Christ has declared Him, that is, God the Father. Now our purpose is to know Christ here in this passage of Scripture. And just think of what is stated of Him. He is eternal, He is God, He's Creator, He is life, He is light, He became human, He lived among us, and He reveals the Father. Knowing God is knowing Christ. Now, number 9, He brings grace. Verse 16. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, we want to be careful here to think that there is no grace in the Old Testament. And there was no grace until Christ came. There is the grace of God in the lives of Old Testament believers. But what we have here in this verse 17, the law given by Moses, but grace coming by Christ, is the change from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant. Where the emphasis in the Old Covenant was the Jewish law, and the emphasis in the New Covenant is the salvation by grace through faith in Christ. So, He is the gracious God, the gracious Savior, who saves and forgives, not by human work, but simply by His grace. And what we have is our salvation undeserved. We have salvation unearned. We have salvation unchangeable. Because grace brings faith. Faith is the gift of God. It does not come from humans. It comes as the gift of God by grace. Now, the last thing we learn in this text is that He brings truth. Not that there was no truth before in the Old Testament, but He is the epitome of truth. And the Lord Jesus Himself said, I am the way. I am the truth. And the emphasis is on the word T-H-E, the definite article. He is not a truth. He is the truth. The truth that must be believed for salvation and eternal life. And we could safely say, biblically, that there is only one truth, because there's only one Savior. And the thing that we are faced with is not to believe many things, but to believe one thing. And that is to believe in Christ as He is presented in the Scripture. Here He is as the eternal God Creator, the source of life and light. He became human, He lived among us, He reveals the Father, He brings grace, and He brings truth. And that is a glorious, wonderful knowing Him. We know Him because it's revealed here in the Scripture. Now, in the light of what is happening today with all the, what is called the ecumenical movement, the people trying to get together in different faiths and say, oh, isn't it wonderful we can, of many religions, gather together. The problem with that is that Christ is ruled out. You cannot mention Him because that is divisive and that is exclusive. So today it is imperative to us who believe to present Christ as He really is, the true and living God, the only Savior, the resurrected One who lives today and who is at this moment the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And He is to be revered and worshiped and adored and served faithfully. May God use this passage of Scripture to apply to our hearts this great truth about Him. And may we worship and serve Him with all the passion of our being. Heavenly Father, we pray You'll set Your seal upon the truth of this passage and do a work in our hearts to bring us to a place of worship and adoration such as we've never known, and that we might be a part of restoring this humanistic, secular society back to the truths of Your Word. Work in us individually and personally today and help any who are struggling with doubt or fear, and bring peace and light and truth to our hearts. We love You and we worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.